Hello and welcome, men and women, teens everywhere, to the Galvanize and Restore podcast. I am your host, Jessica Concepcion, and I hope you are doing well wherever you're tuning in from. I wonder, are you tuning in from Tokyo, Paris, New York, or Austin, Texas? Head over to Instagram to let me know, and the Instagram handle is GalRestore, which is GalRestore. Today's episode is number three of our conversation with Kathy Wilson, who is with the organization New Day for Children, an amazing nonprofit working to rehabilitate children who have experienced human trafficking, modern day slavery. If you are just tuning in to these conversations, I would like to encourage you to also listen to part one and part two. Kathy packs these episodes with a ton of information. Now, for a brief warning, these conversations are not light. If you are around young ears, please reconsider grabbing headphones or listening at a later time. So, welcome to this week's conversation, Rehabilitation of Sons and Daughters Who Experience Human Trafficking in America. Let's get started.
So, yeah, lots more to do, both here in the United States and overseas. It's all important. Yeah.
And, when I think of children, I mean, they're going to be adults someday, and they're going to be, a lot of, for example, I was going to ask you, did you guys, with all the cases that you guys have received, did you notice any age, specific age groups when it came to traffickers?
So, there's a market out there again with the internet. If a person has a scratch, that they want itched, it can happen. So I mentioned I was starting to tell you that, we had a baby that was referred to us, and our program in Louisiana, the state was so flexible and great with them. So different states are much more helpful in this regard than others. And so they changed the licensing of the program that we partner with in Louisiana to make them be able to care. I think now it's for babies through 21-year-olds that can be in the residential faith-based program. Yes, that's so yeah, it is. So, but every age of person can be commodified, even senior citizens. There are people that want, to have sex with older people. So it's like whatever you want, there's somebody who can fill that.
Oh, I meant, sorry. So I meant, did you guys see any, because from my understanding, the traffickers' ages are between like 20s and 30s, like those who are actually trafficking people.
Mm-hmm. Who are selling. Yeah,
did you guys notice anything in that regard with their ages?
Boy, I think you can really have a trafficker be a person of any age. I even talked with a woman who was victimized by a group of primarily senior citizens. It was in a rural setting, and it was people who had farms way out in the sticks where there weren't people to hear if something awful was going on. And in that case, those were people that looked like grandmas and grandpas that were trafficking a large number of kids. You do have a lot of 20 somethings, if it's a glamorized pimping, like what's modeled, in a lot of the music, unfortunately, they're, was that song Cardi B did, WAP, I mean, just, it's set in a brothel and just so vulgar. And that song was celebrated and at the awards ceremonies and just unbelievable. Again, our culture just glamorizing, lifestyle of prostitution and, anything goes, sexual mentality. I think as far as age, what I would want to highlight is that the average age now in this country it's dropping the entry age. So average entry age is 12 and 13 for girls and younger for boys. So that's just, chilling. And that's something that we need to know. We're defining this as prostitution. And meanwhile, it's our middle school and elementary school age kids that are now the average for starting to be sold for sex in the United States of America. That's never been a state of affairs in our country before.
I think so, it just highlights that parents really need to be aware. And because, you know, the more on like how to talk to their kids about trusting them more and how to talk to their kids about sex. And, you know, if you need something, you know, you don't have to rely on some stranger to provide it, and just the boyfriend method, and just bringing that awareness. Because I think parents are, I was talking to someone about it, how just the conversation of talking about sex is like frightening, right? For parents, just on the norm. So when it comes,
just the birds and the bees conversation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's very, but because of the age, you know, when where sexual abuse can happen, and we know a lot of people who have those vulnerabilities have already experienced, or who are trafficked have a lot of vulnerabilities, and sexual abuse is really high on their in their history. So yeah, a lot of, we need to flip the script on what is really taboo in our country, because I think because it's awkward conversation to have, or we've made it awkward, is what is causing a lot of the gaps in the prevention in the first place.
Agreed. Communication is key. And, you know, again, having guest speakers come into youth groups and, you know, searching out online for organizations like ours that are doing things in this realm, and, you know, making yourself aware, reading, educating yourself. We have to open up the lines of communication with our kids. They're growing up in an increasingly dangerous world, you know, when it comes to all this, because of the ease of, you know, being preyed upon online and what they're going to stumble on their own, just exploring online on the internet. You know, I was searching our local movie theater at a mall, and I mistyped one of the letters, and it took me straight to a porn site. And that's, you have groups that are doing that are taking like the names of Disney movies, selling them, and taking kids to really sexually explicit sites. You know, there just so many sneaky, you know, ways that, you know, we're victims of our own smartness, of our own technology, you know, unfortunately, in so many ways. So yeah, we have to look at these things. Unfortunately, the yuck factor is so high. And I think there really is there can be the desire to just fortress yourself off with your family and just get a pizza, watch a movie, and not think of any of this unpleasant stuff, and that it's not going to intrude into your world. But I'm just not a fan of scaring our kids to death. And Christians, you know, we have the good news, and we're supposed to share that with the world. Jesus says, go to the ends of the earth and, you know, tell people about me and make disciples. And so none of that has changed. We're not called as Christians to live in a state of fear. But Jesus does say, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And so, you know, there are things that we need to engage in, unpleasantness in the world, unfortunately, that, you know, we need to be aware of for protection, for safety, and also to do something about it, to try to, you know, help bring the light, shine the light into these dark corners. So, you know, that's tricky, and that looks different for different people. You know, some people are much more sensitive in their spirit. I have a friend who's never been able to sit through one of my presentations because she's so, just personally, it's too upsetting for her to even hear about, but she's been a great financial benefactor for our program and done so much over the years, you know, for our kids, but it's too hard.
Yeah. You have been, with New Day for 13 years. Yes.
14.
What was it?
14 years since.
Yes.
since the get-go.
14 yeah. years. So how have you remained compassionate and just faith-filled throughout the journey of representing them?
I just thank God for that. You know, I do get asked by people. I have been asked by people a lot over the years, how can you stand being immersed in this, you know, day in, day out, hearing all this awful stuff? And doesn't it just make you depressed and anxiety filled? And there is a compassion fatigue phenomenon and a lot of burnout, you know, for people, especially if they're the hands-on caregivers, you know, like working with kids day in, day out. So one of the things that we do is we also have helped provide therapy for caregivers in our programs, respite care for them, fun getaways, you know, for the people who are the caregivers for the kids. So that's, you know, that's something we try to do. We have worked on director connects of getting directors of our different programs together online, you know, to share best practices, to share ideas, to support one another, to troubleshoot. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I just, God is just so good, you know, and Jesus tells us, you know, he wants to be our burden bearer. And life is hard. We all have things, you know, personal things, not just in our professional life. My mom died of cancer when I was 27. You know, my dad died when I was 14. So we carry stuff. We have stuff that is too much for us and weighs us down, all of us on our journeys at one point or another. And that's what Jesus says, you know, it's too much for you. The load can be too heavy, your psychic load. So come to me and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let me be your burden bearer. Cast all your anxieties on me. That's what our faith tells us, and that's real. And I just personally want to testify that, you know, God has been that for me my whole life, ever since I met him when I was 15 years that's old. Amazing. And you know, I feel like in a lot of ways he's put a protective bubble around me, around my spirit and my soul. And I just thank him for that all the time. He's just so good. He has time to be the best friend of each one of us, right, yeah. Jessica? He has time to be our best friend, my best friend. That's what he wants to be, the Lord of the universe to each one of us. He has unlimited time
It really is. I was actually listening to this podcast, and they were talking about the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? Is it like a feeling? Is it the goosebumps? And, you know, the pastor was just saying, you know, the Holy Spirit is God himself, but the Trinity. But we, you know, in our, how do you describe what's happening physical? Like you're experiencing something supernatural, right? So our relationship with God is it a supernatural experience? It's not supposed to just be, you know, like something that makes sense all the time. Because I think, let's say someone who doesn't believe in God's listening, and they're going to be like, how does God comfort you? And like, they might not understand that. But it's this exactly what you said, where you feel the weight, just the weight, the anxiety or anything, anger, anything, it's just gone from your soul. Like it's hard. I think it's so hard to comprehend unless you've, you know, experienced it, and it gives you this incredible peace and refresh. And he refreshes us when we're, you know, in this crazy topic. So I love what you're saying, because mm-hmm. I'm totally with you. I think it's only through Christ that we're able to be sustained, and whether it's in this topic or anything that we're going through in our life, you know?
Yep. I just did with my women's Bible study group, we just did Max Lucado's book, Anxious for Nothing. And it came at just a really good time in my life. And he has this little acronym called CALM that I found, you know, we can always grow. We can always learn more. So this book, you know, I've been a Christian now for decades, but this was a really seminal book for me right now, and just came at the right time. And so the word calm, C stands for celebrate God's goodness, and the A is ask for God's help. The L is leave your burdens with God. Leave what you prayed for. When you pray for something, leave it at the feet of Jesus. Give it to him. Really allow him. Enter in. And it's like a spiritual muscle that we can learn, we can exercise, and we actually can get better at doing these things through practice. Leave your request with Jesus. You've asked him about it. Now leave it with him. And if you're anxious about it again 10 minutes later, go through the process again. You know, just thank God. Oh, God, thank you for being so loving. Thank you for being so gracious. You're so good, God. You're so beautiful. And then ask him for the help that you need. Leave it with him. And then the last one in calm is the M, meditate on good things. So don't fill your mind thinking about bad things all the time. So I think that's really important too. If you're a caregiver, if you're a very sensitive person attuned to needs of people, you need to not just be dwelling on problematic issues all the time. You need to be dwelling on beauty, on good things. That's a way to avoid burnout, is to fill your mind with other things than what you're worried about or maybe righteously angry about. But if you just stew in those juices continually, you end up burning out and not being able to be the change you want to be, not being able to help the people you want to help. So that M, meditate on good things.
I love that.
How do you... Find things that you enjoy, that are beautiful, that are uplifting. Surround yourself with people who are going to help you, you know, be that way in your life, with a loving, supportive church family.
And journaling.
Yes. Things that help to nurture and feed your spirit and make you stronger. So then you can be more passionate in doing what you want
you
to do.
Up. You filled your cup. Now you can show up.
Yeah. If we're just giving all the time, you know, and then our cup is running dry, you have to keep filling
that's,
your cup.
That's the beauty of it, because you can let God be God, and then you're just a human, and you're receiving from him the love and everything, the peace that you need, and then you're like, I am not in control of the world. He is.
There's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. But we're one little tiny drop in the pond, you know, but we have a part to play, and we can do mighty things for God. And, you know, he calls us sometimes small things. So often God likes to work through small people and being faithful, you know, and doing our little things, our little part, but then they add up to something bigger. So, you know, we can shine. I mean, we're called as Christians. Jesus says, you know, shine the light, be the city on the hill, you know, bring light into dark situations. And the church and us individually, we all have our part to play. And often that's just day-to-day small choices and small things, acts of service that we're doing, you know, in our daily lives that don't seem like much, but they add up. And then sometimes he calls us to bigger things also. And so,
I love that.
to work in, it's been a privilege to work in this whole field. It's humbling. And then you see the scope of the need, but again, you know, God's love is limitless and unending.
I love that. And, what I know you kind of already mentioned some ideas, but do you have any tips of getting more people involved on the issue of human trafficking? So there are a lot of people who want to make a difference, but they might not be sure like where to start.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, take a step, take maybe a small step. Like you went to the Just Conference, you know, search out for conferences in your area, things that churches are hosting, things your community is doing. More and more towns and cities are starting to have, you know, seminars on human trafficking, ways you can educate yourself. read some good books on the topic. There are lots of movies increasingly that have been made about this issue. The Sound of Freedom we mentioned, I've seen some Lifetime movies that have told stories, things based on real life events of how human trafficking happened. And those can be good ways to, watch a movie like that with your kids and then talk about it. That can be a good way. What did this movie show? What were some ways that these kids were tricked? How did they get out of the situation? Who helped them? So movies can be really, really helpful.
That's so good because, just to interject, it's funny because you had mentioned music videos before, and movies are a part of culture and are a huge part of American culture. And now that we have so much more movies about it, it does make a difference, and it is influential. When we see something, it engages our visual, and you can see the person, going through some, like, the emotions, and you experience that emotion, and it could be like a communal event, a solo experience. So I love that you mentioned movies as an educational tool, because I don't think no one has mentioned that on the podcast so far.
It comes down to stories of people and how this has actually happened to them and played out in their lives. And it that does help to make it more real. And then, we're always looking for people to walk with us on the healing journey for our kids. So www.newdayforchildren.com, go on our website, read our website thoroughly, sign up to get our newsletter every month. If not us, find another organization, to support. Search out online, groups that are helping to fight child sex trafficking, nonprofits. Just put in child sex trafficking and see what, a whole lot of things will come up. And take the time and take that step of getting past the discomfort factor and the ugliness of the whole topic. To do something concrete, about it, write a check, go to, most nonprofits like us, have annual events, a golf tournament or a dinner, some type of a fundraising gala, sometimes some of our girls who are graduates, survivors who want to be advocates, come to our annual dinner we do every October in California. So there are ways that you can support organizations like us. You don't have to start one necessarily, partner, with people that are doing the work. Come to a big thing like the Just Conference. And then you gave me information about a conference that's coming up in Utah in April.
Sheltered.
Yeah. Look that Sheltered conference up, buy a plane ticket and get a hotel reservation and come and, be exposed and learn what you can do to take next steps to help, because this is a battle. This is a fight really for the lives of our kids. And several of our kids have told us, if I hadn't come here, if you guys hadn't helped me, I wouldn't be alive now. We've had kids who've seen other kids be murdered in front of them. We accompanied one of our girls to a trial. She was forced to participate in a murder trial where her perpetrators had killed someone. And, she was a witness and was forced to clean up all evidence. And, she had to go through, be re-traumatized all over again through going through the trial process.
Wow.
The stakes are high, and life-saving for many, many people who've been victimized by human trafficking. So to me, there's only so many things each one of us can be individually involved in. But when it comes to horrible things that are happening in good causes, kids being sold for sex and tortured and kidnapped and abused, that goes right to the top of, things that we should get behind. So I really appreciate your heart and taking the time. You know, you have another job. You work in a hospital. This, you don't have to pay for this. This is coming from your passion. This is coming from, you know, you learning about this horrible thing happening in our own backyard and caring enough to do something really wonderful about it. So thank you, Jessica. And thanks for having
me. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm the more you speak, I'm like, you need to just keep talking because you have so much information. Such great insight and new ways of thinking about it. I think, you know, for example, like going back to the about getting involved, going to a gala or going to a golf, you know, event, those are things that are in our reach, you know. It's not impossible to do it. It just takes one weekend, you know, or once a month, looking up what human trafficking is or learning about it, so you can educate others. I think it's like you mentioned so many practical things, and that are mm-hmm. are lighthearted as well. You know, like it's in our control to how deep it can go.
Right. So take a baby step, take a little step, and, you know, just expand your awareness and your care, and then do something, you know, take another step. Just, we really need people to engage in this fight for our children.
So just the last two questions. Well, what do you feel is the current need in the anti-trafficking community, just as professionals or within the organizations that you might have noticed? What do you see the improvement could be?
Well, still, I mean, so many children just falling through the cracks. So we just need from where to start. We're so behind the eight ball in doing anything about it. So different states again have different laws. I would like to see every municipality have, when these kids and adults are found, when the police pick people up, you know, and in California, they're no longer arresting people anymore for, it's been decriminalized with the intent of, you know, viewing people as victims rather than criminals who are, you know, being sold in this way. However, then that's tricky too, because the downside of that is we used to get a lot of kids in California directly from juvenile hall, because it broke that connection. If they had a pimp, it broke that connection. And then, you know, they could come to one of our programs and get help because we found out about them because they were in juvenile hall. So now they're not being picked up anymore. And unless there's another crime, you know, being committed that they're part of. But I would like to see, rather than going to juvenile halls, I would like to see municipalities have receiving areas where they're taken to a nice place and they're given a nice room, not like they're locked up, not handcuffed, and given services and given immediate therapy and health care and a rape kit, and just given from the beginning, given a hopeful message rather than treated as a criminal. So that's something we're smart enough to do as a country. Yeah. We really are. So the intent of people not being criminalized, especially children, that this is happening to, it's against the law to sell kids for sex. So they should not be being treated as criminals, you know, when they are apprehended. So that's something. That's a really big thing that we need change as a country, is how do we, you know, interact with people when law enforcement gets involved, and when they are brought in, they should immediately be getting help, not being made to feel dirty and
bad. I know in certain I think in Palm Beach County, South Florida, they've implemented as soon as they get a call of like a local prostitution ring, they have like a social worker come with them to the call. So I know it just takes that awareness piece to get that transition going. And but it is awareness.
Yes. And so a lot of strides have been made, and a lot of places are doing a really good job or a much better job, but we have so much more educating to do, and you know, so far to go from that respect. And then that we need to have options, you know, not just private nonprofits, but things that are done by the county, things that are being done by the city. More, there aren't enough youth shelters for traumatized, you know, at-risk youth, for youth who are living on the streets. We don't have nearly enough resources and help for them. We've just got to get smarter. And that's where, you know, the church then and nonprofits and private entities can step in and not just say, oh, well, it's the county's job to do that. It's the city's job to do that. Well, then that's, you know, that's like why we started, because we saw there's just not nearly enough. The need is so great and places are so few. So especially if you're a kid, you know, you need a place to lay your head at night. And many of these kids are jumping from the frying pan into the fire. So you have runaways, you know, and they might be running from an abusive situation at home, and then they end up, you know, in something even worse. So, you know, we just have such a long way to go in all these respects. And that's, again, where people can get involved from a preventive standpoint. Look at the Big Brother, Big Sister program in your community. How can you get involved? You know, mentor a kid, be a big brother, be a big sister, be a CASA advocate, you know, people who accompany them in, you know, court cases. And, you know, the police do after school programs for kids. Can you, you know, be a volunteer with that? Can you be a tutor with them? You know, help to bring food. Can your church, you know, we have a wonderful nonprofit in Oakland that started of linking churches with public schools in disadvantaged areas, where the church come in and provide, volunteers go to be playground supervisors, to help in the library, to be tutors for kids. You know, those kind of things get at root causes.
That's nice, because that's literally prevention. Because having a mentor really does change the life of someone who doesn't have, you know, adults who are investing in them.
Yes. And then there's foster care, foster parents. You know, the number of foster kids in this country is not as big nationwide as people think. It's a finite number. And there are enough people in churches to meet that need of fostering, you know, and to create a climate in our churches where foster care is normative, and where our churches come alongside to provide support to foster families. My husband and I saw that in the first church that we went to when we were newlyweds. And there were lots of people who had adopted kids in that church, and lots of people who were foster parents. And the church was very supportive of it and helped these families, and, you know, get free babysitting and being respite care for them and food. And so, you know, it's no coincidence that we adopted, you know, our three kids.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because that was modeled for us, you know, as normative. So create a culture of foster parenting in our churches where that is really promoted. Again, that gets at one of the big root causes. It used to be, the statistics are changing all the time, but it was over half of kids in child trafficking situations came from foster care settings because they were so vulnerable. Yeah. So,
and it's that, the support, you know, like we all have, you know, when you're growing up as a, you know, your parent is plays such a big role in the details of your life, brushing your teeth, taking you to your dentist appointment, making sure, you know, you go to the doctor, making sure you eat every day, cleaning your clothes. Yeah. There's just so many details that are involved. And even beyond that, it's the communication and the lessons, the life lessons that are being taught in the home. So this, one of the statistics is with mentors. If you're a mentor, a child whose mentor is like less likely to do risky behavior, like less likely to get involved with underage drinking, less likely to drop out of high school, more likely to apply to college and finish. Just so many great statistics on it. And it just takes one person.
Yeah. And so those are, you know, not all the ways of fighting child trafficking have to be, you know, with a child trafficking label. It's helping to get at underlying root causes of, you know, vulnerabilities that kids and families have, and the church coming alongside and again being the salt and light. And
yeah, you know, I love that.
Helping to prevent.
Do you have any last thoughts you would like to leave the audience with today?
We can all do something. every listener, I'm just again really thankful that you do this podcast, Jessica, and just keep up the good work. And we can all do something, and just take a little step, start small, and just ask God to show you, you know, to increase your circle of caring, to give you a heart, you know, to have a desire to play, you know, some small role in fighting child sex trafficking, because our kids, you know, we're supposed to be protecting kids, the adults. You know, we need to be the adults in the room, and we're doing a terrible job around the world and in this country of really doing what is necessary to fight this and to stem the tide of kids being sold for sex. It's not okay that hundreds of thousands of kids in this country are being sold for sex. It's just not acceptable and not okay. So, you know, we can all do something. Just find that something that you can do, and take an actual tangible step to be, yeah, to make a difference.
And thank you so much for the valuable work that you guys are doing, and just for speaking about this topic in, you know, I'm sure everywhere you go, you might be bringing it up, or, you know, making sure, hey, we need to be doing this. And I think it's so important, because, you know, it's like, Every child, right, that's born has a purpose. And, you know, by being that light, as you mentioned, by speaking up on the issues that matter, you're defending people that God created, you know, so.
That are valuable to Him, each one of us. You know, He cares for each one of us. And doesn't matter if we're famous or, you know, rich or high or low, God loves each one of us so much, and so that He wants us to, you know, to be agents of that, mm-hmm. of that love. And so we, you know,
I love that. Just so thank you so much, Kathy, for being on with us today, and for the amazing work again that you have been doing. So everyone, we will be praying for a new day for children. And I will be linking the information in the bio of for the episode. Everyone, I know this has been a heavy episode, heavy topics discussed. So I encourage you to grab some
stuff here, Jessica. Yeah.
You need to, you know, go for a walk, grab some tea, find someone to hug, you know, whatever you have to do just to, you know, quiet your body, quiet your soul. Because we don't, as we have already talked about, we don't want to cause compassion fatigue. We want to, you know, excite a movement. And so I just want to thank you again. And I'm so thankful for your time and your expertise.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you. I look forward to the next time.
Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week here on the Galvanize and Restore podcast. You have been listening to Kathy Wilson from New Day for Children, an amazing organization working here in the United States to facilitate the restorative care of children who have been adversely affected by modern day slavery. also known as human trafficking. If you are interested in perhaps mentoring a child during their process of healing and helping them with schoolwork, A New Day for Children has openings for this. There are some paid positions, and you do have to meet certain qualifications. So please get in contact with A New Day for Children if you would like to hear more. And that website is newdayforchildren.com. Thank you again for listening. Please share this episode with someone if you believe it was helpful for you. Also, don't forget to leave a positive review wherever you are listening. It helps for others to find this podcast as well. Connect with me also over at the Instagram at Gal Restore, which is GalResTore. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and see you later.